Hey, you want that to go?
So our first news takeout begins with a Friday question. Was it a good week or a bad week? We take your nominees anytime at 877-8-MY-TAKE. But this is our collaboration with The Week magazine. They have a list of who had a good week and a bad week, and they put their good week, bad week feature every Friday in the magazine. So, Celeste, the top of the week's good week is a very familiar voice.
I'm grinning today, and I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to get to work with you and the other team members here at Fox News to provide the fair and the balanced reporting and analysis that voters in this country deserve.
She's had some good weeks and some bad weeks. Last week was a good week for Sarah Palin. She was on O'Reilly and the Fox Network. She's a contributor for them, a paid contributor for them. The former governor of Alaska, though, pushed the ratings up on O'Reilly. It hit nearly the 4 million viewer mark. That's 25% up on any of the other nights.
So maybe it was also a good week for Bill O'Reilly.
And the Fox News Network.
Last week we wished happy birthday to The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. That's a fine looking...
But that leads us to the bad news. That event was followed by a study this week showing that the more time you spend watching TV, the greater your risk of dying young, especially from heart disease, making it a bad week for couch potato. It's a bad week for pretty much everybody I know.
That's right.
The survey is a journal from the American Heart Association. It tracked 8,800 adults. It found that each hour spent in front of the TV increased your risk of dying from heart disease by 18%. During the six-year period of the study, 284 people that they were studying died.
Good week for Sarah Palin on TV, bad week for people watching TV.
Exactly.
All right, if you've got nominations, you can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. And the full Good Week, Bad Week feature is in The Week magazine on newsstands and online now.
Now we're going to move on to Washington. We've been following developments on healthcare down there with our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Todd, you were on the Capitol last night as the lawmakers, the labor leaders, and President Obama all said they reached an agreement over how to pay for healthcare. What did they come up with? Who agreed to what?
Well, this is basically, Celeste, a $60 billion concession to labor. Whoever thought that labor was on the outs and didn't have any more political clout in Washington, this ought to change their minds a little bit. We all know that labor has been very upset over this so-called excise tax of the so-called Cadillac plans. And I keep saying so-called because everybody's trying to change the language. Nobody likes to say Cadillac plans anymore. I think it offends Detroit somehow. So we call them high-cost plans now. But... The threshold for taxing those used to be $23,000. If your plan is worth $23,000, they're going to tax you above that. They bumped that up to $24,000, but then exempted all collectively bargained plans until 2017. And those are union plans. So the plans that are already negotiated, not until 2017. There's no higher taxes on those. That's
but
how they're doing this.
Is the health care bill still paid for?
It's going to have to be because the president has insisted that it will be paid for. They're going to have to find the money somewhere else. They may keep some taxes on the rich. They may ask the pharmaceutical companies for more money. That hasn't been settled yet.
Okay, and the president is out and about trying to sell the health care bill, I assume.
That's why I'll be out there waging a great campaign from one end of the country to the other, telling Americans with insurance or without insurance what they stand to gain, about the arsenal of consumer protections.
Is he going to be able to sell this?
No, who he's selling that to, Celeste, that was the Democratic caucus in the Capitol last night that he was talking to, and that sort of tepid applause there. Before he said that, he said, I know you guys are nervous. I know it's been tough. He's promising them that even though this health care bill is weak in the eyes of the public, that he will go out and sell it so that they can protect their seats if they vote for it. That's what he's promising them.
Okay, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, thanks.
Since the first reports of that massive earthquake in Haiti, our own Takeaway correspondent Femi Okay has been covering the angle of what are people doing in the New York area where there's a large Haitian-American community, and it's become really a center point for getting donations to Haiti and also contacting people and trying to figure out who's safe and who's been affected by this. Femi, first of all, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
And, you know, you've had quite a week. You've met a lot of interesting people. Tell us what you've seen.
I've been to Haitian restaurants, which have become donation points. I've been to churches, Haitian churches. I've been to community centers as well, little private radio stations. Anywhere that's got Haitian in the title has become a place where people know they can come and either get advice or actually drop off goods.
So, and you've seen crowds at almost all of these places that you've been.
Nonstop. I was at the Bedford Haitian Education Community Center yesterday in Brooklyn, the phones didn't stop ringing, and people just burst in the doors with big bags of aid that they wanted to send to Haiti.
Tell me about Martha Arce, who you met at that very facility.
Martha is actually from Puerto Rico, but she has lots of Haitian friends, and she was the first person I met yesterday morning at the Bedford Haitian Community Center.
Oh, I've been working hard, gathering up all clothing for females and males and children, and sorry about what happened at Haiti. And it's really sad. I can't talk anymore. I'm sorry.
I mean, you're meeting people who are carrying devastating sort of emotional baggage as well as the literal effort to help out the people down in Haiti. Tell me about the Ms. Morales at another community center you worked.
Well, she was answering the phones, and she's a caseworker. She normally works with Haitian children with special needs, but suddenly she's becoming the focal point for what's happened to other people's families, trying to get the aid in. And as she was working the phone, she got some bad news herself.
This morning, I got a phone call. They told me that my auntie died in one of the hospitals in Haiti that collapsed. So she passed away. I feel bad. Everybody's calling me. Did you hear anything? Did you hear from who?
Oh, you can hear in her voice the sense of being dazed as well as working as hard as you possibly can. And we're hearing that in the voices of people in Port-au-Prince. Tell us about Mrs. Carroll, who was back at that Bedford Community Center that you visited.
I just want to leave you with something upbeat. She burst into the community center with bags of goods. Her upbeat nature just really encouraged people and helped them just lift their mood.
I'm bringing water. I'm bringing peroxide, some bandages. I'm asking for donation of Pampers from friends and other people like that. Anything that can help relieve the stress of this all on these people.
And ma'am, where are you from?
I'm Jamaican. We're a family now. It's a family thing. It could have been any country.
Well, that speaks for itself. People are really stepping up. Thank you, Femi.
You're welcome.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.